I'm delighted to welcome today Jan Jeremias from the US. Actually, I didn't ask you, Jan, whereabouts are you from?
I live in Connecticut, so I live in the northeast of the states.
Cool. Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm currently in the Algarve in Portugal. We couldn't be talking without this technology, could we? Isn't it marvelous?
It is marvelous. It's so much fun.
So, Jan, we're going to be talking about your involvement with health and well-being, and you're a yoga teacher and you've done stuff with Reiki and essential oils, but particularly these days more with animals. So tell us what it is that you do now and how you came to go towards your current modalities.
Well, I always worked in healthcare for my whole life, basically my whole working career. I was a trained research scientist, and so I worked in more traditional health and wellness for 24 years. And at that time, I was doing a lot of work in women's health. I worked in OBGYN and obstetrics and gynecology, so I was doing a lot of work in that area for women's health and wellness in a more scientific setting. And then along the way, it's so interesting because I didn't grow up like in the wellness world. It wasn't like I went to doctors. I went to, we didn't grow up like that. I don't think if I ever take it, I took a supplement. I don't think I took a supplement before I was an adult because it's not, my mother wasn't into it. But I had a dog who was quite elderly. She was 14 at the time, and she developed something called canine cognitive dysfunction, which is basically the equivalent of Alzheimer's in dogs. And one of the primary symptoms is insomnia. They don't sleep. And so they wander all night and they cry because they get disoriented and they don't know where they are and they're afraid. And I wasn't sleeping. And I don't know why, but for some reason, when I went to the vet, I just wasn't really happy with the choices they were giving me for her health and to help her and to help me because I wasn't sleeping either. And finally, I had a friend who was using essential oils, and she was like, "Oh, we'll give you some essential oils, and I'm sure they'll help. And she's going to feel better, and you're going to sleep." And I really looked at her like she was a man from the moon because I really didn't know anything about them. And I really didn't. I grew up so traditionally. And I remember when I first began and I used them on her, and they worked and she slept the first night. And I remember thinking to myself, "Oh, it's just a fluke. It's a fluke." And then the second night she slept, and then the third night. And by the third night, I was like, "Oh, this is really interesting." Because animals are great because they don't sit there and debate whether things work. They're not going and sitting to themselves, "Oh my gosh, it must be a placebo. It must be my imagination." So I think that she was the real, like she was the being. She then I used them on her for 5 years, and she lived to the ripe old age of 19, which for a large dog was a really big deal. And I remember thinking to myself, and every time I think of her, like as I go back and I remember her, I always like thank her because I think she opened the door to me of this whole world. Around the same time, I had had some things going on in my own life. So basically for the stress management, I decided to start practicing yoga. I was one of the things I was, okay, well, I've got to do something. And I also didn't want to do traditional meds. And I was, okay, I'll try yoga. And it really, I think, saved me in a lot of ways. And both of those in combination, I mean, I began to use essential oils on myself because they worked on her. And then along the way, I got into a few other things. Just in the wellness realm, I got certified in reflexology. And so I became a reflexologist. And then I also became a Reiki practitioner. And so I just decided that I was going to start exploring all these other modalities. And I love to learn, so it was great. And yeah, and so that's really where it led me. And now I never look back. I'm really happy I took that path. Sometimes it's not the most easy path to be committed to, but it's worth it.
Absolutely. What was the oil that you gave your dog that you gave many more years?
I gave her a calming blend that was a blend of oils that I purchased, and I was really, really excited that it worked. And through the years I've explored, and along the way, I met a lovely woman who actually came to me for her daughter to ask me about oils, and turned out she was a veterinarian. And so we began doing a lot of work together, and we co-authored 3 books on essential oils for pets together. The last one came out in September 2021, I think it was released, and called Spoil Your Pet, A Practical Guide to Using Essential Oils in Dogs and Cats. And that's been, I think it's now rated as the top selling essential oil book for pets on the market.
Oh, wow.
So that's really exciting. And it's just nice to help people and help their animals and realize that you can do both. I mean, she is a traditional vet. She has a very integrative practice, so she does both, but there is room for both.
Brilliant. So the calming blend that you gave to the dog, was that something that you made up yourself at the time with the knowledge that you had then, or is it something off the shelf?
It was something that I bought for a company. Now I no longer work that much with that company, and so I have a few other oils I like for, you know, stress or anxiety and other issues that might come up, maybe, you know, to support other health concerns that you might have with your cat.
How do you give oils to a pet? Do you mix it in their food? Do you put it on them? What do you do?
Most of the time you can apply them topically, diluted always, depending on whether it's a cat or a dog, just because their physiology, their bodies are different. And so a cat is usually more diluted than a dog. And then you apply it to their fur. You don't have to get contact with the skin, because the fur actually wicks in the oil toward the body and it ends up absorbing anyway. So you don't really have to make sure you find skin in a really big, large, or just a really furry dog that might be challenging. So just know you can pet them. Avoid the eyes, the ears, and directly the nose. And then pet where they need to be, where they like to be pet, because we've always been huge advocates, my co-author, Dr. Mia, of keeping the experience positive, because if you don't, more likely it's going to become a game, or they're going to run away when you go to find the oil bottle. So I just apply it. I usually say I apply it to like right below the back of the ridge of the skull, all the way down to right above the tail. My dog now, who's almost 11, is an oil dog. Like, he's been, you know, he grew up on oils, basically. I've used them since I got him at the age of like 5 months. And so he has no qualms, and he'll let me do anything to him. But if you have trouble, I always say, if they're food motivated, it's easy, because like my cats were very food motivated. I don't have cats right now, but I always fed raw, and you can't leave it out. So there are timed feedings, and if their head's in the bowl and they're busy, I can do anything I want to the rest of the body. So give them something to do, or give them a treat afterwards. Like, a reward is always good. So there are ways. And then there are animals. Every animal is different, just like every person is different. So Dr. Mia, my co-author, has 3 dogs. Her female doesn't like oils at all, and her other 2 love it. So it's really sometimes personal preference. You can also diffuse essential oils in an essential oil diffuser if you want. For certain circumstances, maybe it doesn't have as much of an impact, but it's definitely having some impact. So that's a really non-intrusive way where you're not actually asking, like, having to apply it to the pet. And sometimes if they don't like it and you don't want to aggravate them, it might just be better to diffuse instead.
Mm. Well, you've mentioned cats and dogs. What other animals have you helped with the essential oils?
Horses. I've done a little bit of work with horses. Trying to think if there's anything else. I get a lot of questions. Me, I don't really work with that many. You know, if I do Reiki or gentle massage, those are the 3 I tend to work with most. I get a lot of questions from people who have other types of pets, but that's not really what I would consider my forte. I have a lot, I mean, not that I couldn't do it, but I have a lot of experience working with dogs, cats, and horses. I don't have as much experience working with other animals.
Cool.
At all.
So
yeah.
you've mentioned calming and sleep. What other conditions can you help the animals with?
there's a few other like common issues, which I think I always say it's always good to have around just like if they have any joint discomfort. Like when I moved about a year and a half ago, and I started hiking a lot more. And when I hike, my dog's off leash because I can't hike and have him on a lead. And I remember the next morning I got up and just like I was stiff, he was stiff and sore. And so I gave him a massage, and I'm sure the massage element helps too, but I gave him a massage with some essential oils and then he was fine. So things like that, I think, are really useful. If you have an aging dog, like those stiff joints, just like we get kind of creaky as we age sometimes, the same thing happens to them. And then an upset tummy. So an upset stomach. So that could be, you know, they eat the wrong thing, they get into the garbage, or it's holiday season. And if you can relate to this, I'll use this example, as my mother does not understand that my dog does not need to eat table food on the holidays. And she's like, he looks like he needs it. And I'm like, Mom, he really doesn't need it. Mm. No, look at him. And I'm like, Mom, really, please. So circumstances like that, it's very useful to be able to support their systems a little bit. And just know that it's also very useful if I think anybody who's had a pet for any length of period of time and for many years has at least at one time or another made an emergency vet visit. And usually they're after hours when they're closed, or it's a weekend and they're closed. And so it's always nice to know I can do something. Obviously, if I need to go, I will, but if I can do something to actually postpone it till the next morning so that I can call the vet and then take them in, or if, you know, it's the weekend, if I can hold off till a Monday, if it's not going to put the pet in harm, then it's really nice to be able to know that you're not helpless and that you can do something, which I think was one of the turning points for me, because at points in my own wellness journey and for my pets, I think the worst feeling is feeling like you can't do anything. Mm-hmm. Is that feeling of helplessness. And then you're like, okay, well, I don't want to do nothing, and I want to do something. And I always feel like it's going to have some sort of positive impact.
Yeah. So do you actually have clients? Do you promote your business activities? Do you actually see other animals, or is it the oils that you work with that you promote?
I do both. I do see animals in person. I do have some virtual clients that actually where I'll do virtual Reiki on the pet. And I'm always looking to help more and more animals. I would say the majority of my clients over the past like year or two, year and a half, have been a lot of older pets. With and supporting them with Reiki, gentle massage, and essential oils if they're local or they want me in person, versus doing it virtual. But tends to be a lot of older pets that have a lot of health concerns and either need help in addition to traditional veterinary medicine, or there's no traditional veterinary option that is available. Sometimes that has to do with cost of what's going to have of treatment for people. Veterinary costs are very high. Mm-hmm. And I can never judge, because I've been in that situation where it wasn't an option. And sometimes it's because, like, I had one client that just moved, and I'm so sad, but I had one client whose dog couldn't tolerate the medication that they were going to prescribe to help. So, you know, when the dog's doing great, I think the vet had really said that the dog wasn't going to survive very long. And I think it's been a year, and she moved quite far, but I'm in touch with her all the time. And she said, she's doing great, you know? And I'm like, yes, you know, that's what you want to hear. And then also it's just the idea of making them more comfortable at the end. Also, it's this idea is nobody wants anything to suffer. And sometimes everybody needs time to acclimate or wrap their heads and their hearts around the fact that it might be time. And sometimes they, you know, that's what is needed. They need that moment, or those, you know, they need a month or 2 months to sit there and finally say, okay, it's time for us to, you know, it's time for the pet to transition, or it's time to do traditional. And there's no reason you can't do both, but it is really useful. I'm actually in the process of releasing with a lovely woman who's a pet intuitive. In January, we're releasing a 9-week program. Well, it's an 8-week program with one bonus week at the end, an 8-week program for people who've lost a pet and trying to resolve all the grief and usually a lot of guilt that comes, because most of the time we have to make tough decisions with pets. And sometimes it's really hard for us to not go back to the place of like, could I have done more?
Mm. That's interesting. So that would be a virtual course, would it?
Yes, it'll be a virtual course. We're starting January 8th. And it'll be 8 weeks. And then the 9th week is a beautiful, beautiful, we're hoping tribute that we have a harpist playing at. That's going to be like a tribute to all the pets of all the people that have participated in the program. But we're really excited, Elizabeth and I, to be offering that, because it is a very hard thing, which I don't really, I think if you, people have not had pets, that it's very hard for them to understand. But it's a different kind of loss than losing a person. Our pets love us unconditionally. There's no judgment. So I think a lot of times the bond between a person and a pet is even stronger than than they might have with another person. You know, I always say that I can leave the house for an hour or leave the house for a week and I get home and it's like, it's the same. That's right. The welcome back after I take out the garbage sometimes is just so enthusiastic. I'm like, buddy, I like walked to the end of the drive and I came back, you know? Yeah. So that is very special.
I've inherited a cat from a place I lived. The owner died and I was staying at the place and the family said, oh, would I take Bobby with me when I move on? So this was just over a year ago. And he goes everywhere with me. He's here just now on the seat. Wherever I am, whatever room I'm in the house, if I'm in the front garden, the back garden, wherever I am, he's with me. And it's really sweet. He sleeps on my bed. I vowed I'd never have an animal sleeping on my bed. And if he's not there, I call him.
I was just talking to someone and I said that. My dog sleeps on my bed all the time. And my last dog never wanted to. And so she always slept in the room, but she didn't want to be on the bed. He's on the bed. And it's so funny because if I travel, usually I drop him off the day before, because this way, you know, if I'm flying, I don't have to worry about him the day I fly. And that night when I am in the house by myself and the bed's empty, oh my gosh, I'm so lonely. It's like, it feels like such an emptiness. I'm like, and sometimes I think to myself, like, this connection that I have with him is not like, it scares me sometimes because I think to myself, like when I lose him, like eventually when he passes away, it's going to be quite traumatic, but I think we all know it happens and I'm hoping not, but I think it really is. I had this conversation with somebody not too long ago. I think it's a really, I mean, I think giving, pets to kids is a huge gift in so many ways, between responsibility and also the idea of losing something of that might seem hard, mm-hmm. but I think it teaches about the cycle of life and, you know, loving something and knowing that it won't be here forever. And I think that those traits or those qualities are so important to teach to teach to kids. And there's nothing like an experience of it. I've had pets pretty much almost my whole life. There was a span when I was a kid. And I remember when I lost my first cat that I really remember. And it was my cat. And I remember it was very sick. And my mother took it to the vet and I was at school. And the vet was like, we really have to, you know, put the cat to sleep. And my mother said, I can't, it's not my cat. It's my daughter's cat. I can't not go home with the cat. And so I remember she came home and she talked to me about it. And she said, you have to decide what to do. I can't decide for you. You know, if you want, there's nothing wrong if you decide. And I made the decision. But I remember that I was so thankful that she allowed me to make that decision, because I think I would have been heartbroken had, like, it would have been even worse had she not given me that choice and the cat never came home and I never got to say goodbye. So I think that there's a real gift in it. for no matter the age.
Yeah, I think you're right, actually. I'm just, as you were talking there, I was going back to a memory that I could have perhaps handled better, knowing what I know now, with my daughter and a cat. But there we go. Hey ho, we can't turn the clock back 30 something years, 35 years, whatever it was. So there we go. So you mentioned feeding your cats raw. Do you feed your dog raw as well?
No, he didn't respond well to raw. I do a mixture of cooked food that I make and then dog food. My cats, one of my cats' stomach was very finicky when he was young. And one of my friends said, why don't you try raw? And it helped. And so I almost, till they were very old, like at the end, I think the last year and a half, I didn't, because it didn't seem to agree with them anymore. But till then, I almost always, I mean, they lived to 18 and 20. So, you know, till the end, basically, I fed them raw and I made it and I would freeze it. And in some ways it was a pain. I mean, but it's really not, because you make it once, you freeze portions. I would make enough for like a week or two and then defrost it. And they were really great. So I think, you know, nutrition is not my favorite topic on pets, just because I think it's very controversial and there's a lot of different opinions, but I don't think one size fits all. I think, just like us, I'm a vegetarian, I'm almost a vegan. I do really well on that diet. That would not be for everybody. And I think your pet's the same. Yes. Some do really well on raw and some can't handle raw.
Yeah, there we go. So for people who have pets and are listening to this podcast, what would you advise to have in the cupboard? So for like essentials, so what basic essential oils would you recommend that they kept?
Probably my favorite, which is frankincense. I love frankincense. I think it has so many healing properties and it's so supportive to the body and to the emotional well-being of a pet that, and I think that I go back to history, like historically it's been used for thousands of years. And so I think that there's a lot of credibility in something that's been around for so long. And then I'm always, you know, I would say a calming oil. Lavender is usually everybody's favorite as far as calming, and it's good for skin irritations and scrapes and things like that. It's very soothing. So I always say have a lavender around. There are a few others that I like. I would say there's one called Copaiba, which is also very calming and really good for a lot of different systems of the body. It supports a lot of different body systems. And so always like to have that around. Those are probably three of the main ones I always tell people it's really good to have just in case. Something happens and you want to have some sort of, you know, and then there are a few blends that I tend to go to for myself, but, or that I recommend a lot of the time, but some of that's specific to the pet's needs.
And you mentioned diluting, that is different for cats and dogs. How would you do that?
Diluting, it's, yeah, I always say, depending on how many oils you're trying to combine, or whether you're using a prepared blend, for example. For a dog, it's maybe 6 drops of oil and like a teaspoon of carrier oil or a fatty oil. That's, depending on if you're working, that's about 5 mLs.
So when you say carrier oil, things like coconut oil, olive oil, that kind of thing?
Yep. You can use almost any, I mean, some people use olive oil. I don't really like it because it's too heavy. I tend to use fractionated coconut oil, which is basically coconut oil that's now liquid, because it's very light and absorbs really quickly. So it doesn't leave their fur greasy and oily, which is the problem with olive oil. Not that I haven't used it in an emergency, but I just, it's not my favorite as far as, you know, if he goes and lays on the carpet afterwards, I don't want a big oil stain and or linens or something like that. And then for a cat, it would actually be double. So if it's, you know, 4 to 6 drops, it would be in 10 mLs.
Right.
Okay. So it's quite dilute. But you have to remember the power of essential oils. Like each drop is usually a good quality oil is so strong that a little goes a very long way. And the nice thing about working with a roll-on bottle, first of all, is depending on how often you're doing it, if you dilute it, you know, ahead, or if it's already prepared as a roll-on that you purchase, is you're not fiddling with a lot of bottles. And the less you have to fiddle, the more likely you're going to be able to get it done. If you're looking for bottles or opening up a dozen bottles, by the time you get it all set up, they're hiding and you have to look for them. And this makes it a little bit easier to make sure that you get it on them. It might not be a spa experience, you know, like I always say that, you know, they might not sit still, but just be really fast. And one good swipe, we could always call it like a drive-by, you know, like as they're running, just get one good swipe across their fur and you're fine. And most of the time I find that they really do enjoy it. And diffusing is, like I said, a really easy, non-intrusive way. I would say the only things I would say about that is you want to use a water-based diffuser. That's usually the best kind because you can measure exactly how many drops go in the diffuser and the space that you're in. And then never in a closed room. So allow them the opportunity to leave if they don't like it or if they've had enough. And so my house, I have a very open main floor, very open layout, and I have one diffuser. And it's not, I mean, it happens to be that it's not in the bedroom, but it's in, because I have a master bedroom on the first floor, but it's in my kitchen and it's fine. And I have it going a lot. And usually they will all hang out with me. And I know if they don't like something, because they all leave. I'm always like, that was not a good choice, Mom. Brilliant. So yeah. But it's very, very, it's very, I have, most of my clients will do both. They'll apply and they'll topically, and they will diffuse.
Cool. All of the ages you've mentioned of your pets, 19 and so on. I interviewed a couple of people recently who are also doing things with animals. Some of them are bigger animals, but they both said that they think cats should live to be about 30 and dogs about 20. And that was normal sized dogs. So for you to get a big dog to 19, after kind of losing its mind a bit, I mean, that's remarkable. So clearly what you're doing is working, Jan.
Yeah, I always, my people who meet me always say I'm a huge tribute to what I do. Yes, I think that cats should live a lot longer. I mean, mine live to 18 or 20, but I've met people with cats that are in their 20s. I think one of the keys, at least here, when I was growing up, I lived in a very rural area with a lot of farms at the time. And there it was very common for people to have outdoor cats. So indoor, outdoor, or just outdoor. After, as an adult, I've always lived in much more urban areas or maybe outside a city and with a lot of traffic and with other animals. I think for cats, it's just a lot safer if they live inside. It's just my opinion. I think diseases are less because they're not, there are some which like feline leukemia virus and some others that are transmitted. And then also with cars and automobiles, you know, in autos, it gets to, you know, depending on traffic, it can be a little bit harmful. Most people, I don't know many people that have dogs that, unless they're a working dog, I don't know many people that have dogs that don't live at least part of the time inside. But I'm also in the Northeast of the US, which it's not very common here for people to have dogs that live outside. I do have a few friends that have work dogs though.
Cool. So frankincense, what was the other one?
Lavender and copaiba.
Yeah, that's the one that's similar to, been described to me as a form of CBD.
Yeah, it's very similar to CBD and its activity. And so, yeah, I like it a little bit better. I think if you buy it from a really reputable company, then it's a little bit more regulated than some CBD can be. I think like everything, you just have to be very careful with what you're using, especially on animals.
Yeah.
Their systems are quite sensitive to chemicals and pesticides and things like that. And so you just have to be cautious about around what you're using with pets.
And also use them for us as well. I suppose if you were using a blend for a dog, there's no harm in using it for you at the same time, is there?
Nope, not at all. I mean, I always say to people, like, depending on the circumstance, you know, if you have an emergency with your pet, apply oils to yourself, because they're going to pick up on your stress level.
Yeah.
Most of the time you're very, you know, you're nervous and you're scared depending on what happened, and they pick up on your energy. So it's going to make them more anxious. But I've, you know, when I travel, I leave oils with the person who cares for him. He goes to her house. When I used to board him at a kennel, I used to send oils with in the bag, partly because it smells like home. So yeah. I think transition is a little easier. It also smells like you if you wear them. And I think if they're attached to you, it makes it a little easier. I think they don't have such a hard time with you being away.
Cool. So, Jan, how can people get hold of your books and consult you if they'd like to know more?
Well, I'm on Facebook and I'm on LinkedIn if anybody is on those platforms. The other ways to get in touch with me, my book is available on Amazon. It's also available if you're in the US from our publisher, which is Aroma Tools. And so aromatools.com. The book is also available on Amazon as an ebook. So if anybody wants to buy an ebook, it's also available as an app. So it's all listed under Spoil Your Pet. And the app is also available the book app is there, also available in Spanish for anybody who is Spanish speaking.
Oh, wow. Okay. And it's called Spoil Your Pet.
Yeah. Spoil Your Pet. And the other way to get in touch with me, I would say those are the two best ways to reach me, are either on Facebook Messenger or on LinkedIn Messenger. You could also try Instagram. I will get it. I don't check Instagram as often as I check Facebook then. And then probably the other way is via email. And I'm happy to give everybody my email address.
Yes, please do.
Which is Jan, J-A-N, at Aroma, A-R-O-M-A, Lotus, L-O-T-U-S, it's one word, .com.
Jan at aromalotus.com.
Correct. Yeah.
Brilliant. Jan Jeremiah, thank you very much for your time today. It's been fascinating.
Oh, thank you, Elaine. So good to chat with you, and thank you for having me.
Most welcome.